Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Welcome to Network 7's Mission Sunlight Sabbath School Bible Study reading for lesson number 12, the third quarter 2025, titled Exodus by Jerry Muscala. This week's lesson is for study for September 13 through September 19 and is called Please Show Me Your Glory. Click the share button on your device to share this program with a friend if you would, and you can also learn more about Mission Sunlight and other Network 7 productions by visiting missionsunlight.org. And as you're listening today, consider texting or calling us, hello@missionsunlight.org or 1-423-855-4877, email or call. We enjoy hearing from you and where you're listening. Maybe you have questions about the program or the lessons or your prayer request. You can also enjoy another Network 7 podcast called Mission Sunlight Chat to experience stories behind mission and ministry. Learn more about today's Bible study at adultbiblestudyguide.org. I'm your host, Christopher Beeson, reading your lesson today with Victoria Bray, reading our scripture text. As we begin our study, let's pray together. Father in heaven, we do want to see more of your glory. We do want to see who you are and what your intervention and plan in our lives is indeed. So as we read here today, as we listen, as we watch and study to know more of what your character is, please guide our hearts and minds that we receive clearly the message from your throne of grace about your love and about your plan and about the future you have in store in mind for us. Thank you for hearing our prayer. Thank you for blessing our listeners and viewers in a special way today. In Jesus' name, amen. Victoria, we begin on Sabbath afternoon. This is Sabbath, September 13, and our memory text, Exodus 34, 6 and 7.
And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation.
We all need to grow in our walk with God. Without growth, we are dead. The Apostle Peter declares, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. That's 2 Peter 3. We need to be willing to grow. We are daily in God's university, where there is no graduation, but a constant learning process. In each stage of growth, you can be perfect if you allow God to mold you into the person that he calls you in Christ to be. Think of a school. If first graders learn how to read and count to 100, they receive a passing grade because their knowledge is perfect at that stage and scale of growth. However, if this same level of knowledge and no more was detected in a high schooler, it would indicate a colossal failure in his or her education. It is similar with our growth in the grace and knowledge of God. In each stage of our development, we can be as perfect in our sphere as Christ was in his. This week, we study how Moses, through knowing and following God's instructions, was growing in his walk with the Lord. Sunday, September 14th, the Tent of Meeting. Read Exodus 33, 7 through 11. Why did God ask Moses to build the Tent of Meeting? Exodus 33, 7 through 11.
Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out of the tabernacle of meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was, whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle, that all the people rose, and each man stood at his tent door, and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, when Moses entered the tabernacle, that the pillar of cloud descended, and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. All the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshipped, each man in his tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend, and he would return to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle.
We must not confuse the tent of meeting, built outside of Israel's camp, with the tabernacle, which was later constructed and located in the center of the camp. We do not know how often Moses consulted with God in the tent of meeting. However, one thing we know for sure, Moses' encounters with God resulted in a close friendship between them. The Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend, Exodus 33. A friend is a person we can consult and openly discuss most everything with and trust that he or she will never reveal it to others. A friend is one of the nicest things to have and one of the nicest persons to be. As recorded in Exodus 19 through 34, the story of Moses is very instructive of how God transforms our lives. How did God build a relationship with this outstanding leader? A study of the life of Moses shows how he grew in his knowledge, not only of God's power, but of his love and character. This is a crucial component of having a relationship with God. Prior to arriving at Mount Sinai, Moses was mightily used by God, even while being prepared for a special leadership role. In the land of Midian, while taking care of sheep, God inspired him to write two books, Job and Genesis. Then, in the dramatic event of the burning bush, he was called by God to lead Israel out of Egypt. He saw the defeat of the Egyptian gods and the mighty Egyptian army in the Red Sea. He observed for many weeks how God led Israel from Egypt to Sinai. After the experience resulted in his shining face, he led Israel for another 39 years to the brink of the Promised Land. The biblical message states that Moses was a faithful servant of God. More of that in Deuteronomy 34 and Joshua 1. An unimpaired light in the darkness, a model prophet by whom others would be measured. We find more of that in Deuteronomy 18. He was an agent of change, even though the people did not always follow his directions and words. When they did, they prospered. We may learn from Moses because his exceptional life story tells us what God can do when we let him change us. What were some turning points in your walk with God where you recognized how he worked powerfully in your life? Monday, September 15, that I may know you. Read Exodus 33, 12 through 17. What did Moses ask the Lord to teach him? Why did he demand God's presence to guide them? Again, Exodus 33, 12 through 17.
Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then he said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth." So the Lord said to Moses, "I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name."
Moses' growth in the Lord was steady. He drew closer and closer to the Lord and sought to model himself after God's image. One day, when he was conversing with God in the tent of meeting, Moses suddenly realized that he did not know him, and he uttered a specific prayer, "Show me now your way, that I may know you." Moses was aware of his deep need to understand God on a new level. He discovered that the more he knew the Lord, the more he did not know him. He recognized his need and wholeheartedly desired to know him better. God willingly granted Moses' wish. By looking at the experiences of Moses so far, we can observe how Moses was drawn into a deeper, intimate relationship with the Lord and how he grew spiritually. First, Moses climbed the mountain and went up to God. Then he went to the top of the mountain and afterward approached the cloud, the thick darkness in which God resided. We read of this in Exodus 19 and 20. On another occasion, Moses entered the cloud where God was, and he stayed with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. During these 40 days, God gave Moses two precious gifts, the gift of the Decalogue written by God himself on the two tablets, also chiseled by him, Exodus 24, and the instructions on how to build and furnish the tabernacle. Those are found in Exodus chapters 25 through 31. Then he spent another 40 days and nights with the Lord, interceding for sinners, Exodus 32 and Deuteronomy 9. Yet, even after all this, Moses desired to know God's character more concretely, and God soon gave him special insights to understand who he is. This knowledge Moses desired was not a mere intellectual understanding of God, but an experiential knowledge of his person. No wonder centuries later Jesus would say, "And this is eternal life, that we may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." That's John 17:3. What better way for God to make himself known to humans than by becoming a human himself? Do you know God, or do you just know about him? What is the crucial difference between the two? Tuesday, September 16. Please, show me your glory. After the golden calf apostasy, Moses interceded for God's people and wanted to be assured that the Lord would continue leading them to the promised land. Deep down within his being, he also wanted to know the Lord better. Read Exodus 33:18-23. How did God answer Moses' request to see his glory? Exodus 33.
And he said, "Please show me your glory." Then he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live." And the Lord said, "Here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be while my glory passes by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen."
Please show me your glory, Moses asked the Lord. In his mercy, the Lord did reveal his glory to him. However, when answering Moses' request, God promised to show him his goodness. One can safely conclude that God's glory is his goodness, that is, his character. We can read more from Ellen G. White's The Acts of the Apostles, page 576, as well as her book Christ Object Lessons, page 414 and 415, and Prophets and Kings, page 313. It is the glory of God to give his virtue to his children. He desires to see men and women reaching the highest standard, Ellen G. White wrote in The Acts of the Apostles, page 530. She also wrote in Prophets and Kings, page 668, "His glory is to embrace repentant sinners and supply everything needed to change them." At the same time, it is our glory to reveal his character in our own lives and to make it known to others. This reflection of God's character, his goodness, kindness, and tender love must be seen in our actions. This way, we have a chance to be not only a blessing to the world, but a shining light to the onlooking universe. As Paul states, "For it seems to me that God has put us apostles on display at the end of the procession. Like those condemned to die in the arena, we have been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to angels as well as to human beings." 1 Corinthians 4:9. This cosmic dimension gives to our lives and service a meaning and purpose that we can barely begin to imagine. In Romans 2:4, Paul says that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. That is, it is God's goodness and character pointed out by the Holy Spirit that convinces people of their sinfulness and need of salvation. Indeed, when we look at the cross and know who was there and why he was there, because he loved us and this was the only way to save us, we have the greatest revelation possible of his goodness and character. How much time do you spend focusing on the cross and what it tells you about the character of God? Wednesday, September 17, the self-revelation of God. Read Exodus 34:1-28. How did God reveal his glory to Moses? Exodus 34.
And the Lord said to Moses, "Cut two tablets of stone like the first ones, and I will write on these tablets the words that were on the first tablets which you broke. So be ready in the morning and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai, and present yourself to me there on top of the mountain. And no man shall come up with you, and let no man be seen throughout all the mountain. Let neither flocks nor herds feed before that mountain." So he cut two tablets of stone like the first ones. Then Moses rose early in the morning and went up to Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him. And he took in his hands the two tablets of stone. Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. So Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. Then he said, if now I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray, go among us, even though we are a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as your inheritance. And he said, behold, I make a covenant. Before all your people I will do marvels, such as have never been done in all the earth, nor in any nation, and all the people among whom you are shall see the work of the Lord. For it is an awesome thing that I will do with you. Observe what I command you this day. Behold, I am driving out from before you the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. Take heed to yourself, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land where you are going, lest it be a snare in your midst.
But you shall destroy their altars, break their sacred pillars, and cut down their wooden images, for you shall worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they play the harlot with their gods, and make sacrifices to their gods, and one of them invites you, and you eat of his sacrifice, and you take of his daughters for your sons, and his daughters play the harlot with their gods, and make your sons play the harlot with their gods. You shall make no molded gods for yourself. The feast of unleavened bread you shall keep. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread as I commanded you in the appointed time of the month of Abib. For in the month of Abib you came out from Egypt. All that open the womb are mine, and every male firstborn among your livestock, whether ox or sheep. But the firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. And if you will not redeem him, then you shall break his neck. All the firstborn of your sons you shall redeem. And none shall appear before me empty-handed.
6 days you shall work, but on the seventh day you shall rest. In plowing time and in harvest you shall rest. And you shall observe the feast of weeks, of the first fruits of wheat harvest, and the feast of ingathering at the year's end. 3 times in the year all your men shall appear before the Lord God of Israel. For I will cast out the nations before you and enlarge your borders. Neither will any man covet your land when you go up to appear before the Lord your God 3 times in the year. You shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leaven, nor shall the sacrifice of the feast of the Passover be left until morning. The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring to the house of the Lord your God. You shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. Then the Lord said to Moses, write these words, for according to the tenor of these words I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water, and he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments.
Moses had to take with him 2 stone tablets like the first ones, which he had broken. He was going to meet with the Lord on Mount Sinai for the 7th time. His previous climbs are mentioned in the following text, Exodus 19:3 and 7, 19:8 and 14, 19:20 and 25, 20:21, 24:3, 24:9, 12 through 18, and 32:15, and then Exodus 32:30 and 31. Moses started his climb early in the morning. Moses was now prepared for this glorious insight into God's character. The beauty of God's character is best explained in this stunning self-revelation of himself. It is the most important description of who God is. It is the golden thread woven throughout the Bible. Numbers 14, Nehemiah 9, Psalm 103, Joel 2, Jonah 4. The Lord's proclamation here is the John 3:16 of the Old Testament. In crucial places, biblical authors apply, repeat, or expand on this self-proclamation of the living God because God's character must be correctly understood. When Moses received the exceptional, unprecedented, and unparalleled explanation of God's name, he bowed down and worshiped the Lord. When we get glimpses of God's love, grace, mercy, compassion, goodness, faithfulness, forgiveness, holiness, and justice, we also are attracted to him. It is when we see and admire his exceptional qualities that we start to love him, a love that leads to the desire to serve and obey him. Because he loves us, we love him back. 1 John 4:19. In this self-revelation, God assures Moses that he will perform marvelous deeds for his people and lead them into the promised land. He renews the covenant with them, promising that other nations will see his majesty and awesome work. Behold, I make a covenant. Before all your people, I will do marvels such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among whom you are shall see the work of the Lord, for it is an awesome thing that I will do with you. Exodus 34:10. However, the Israelites needed to obey God and follow 10 clear stipulations in order to secure their prosperity. Then Moses was asked by God to write the content of that covenant, which had already been broken. Thursday, September 18, the shining face of Moses. Read Exodus 34, 29-35. What was the cause of Moses' radiant face?
Now it was so, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him. And Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the children of Israel came near, and he gave them as commandments all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And he would come out and speak to the children of Israel whatever he had been commanded. And whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses shone, then Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him.
After God revealed his character of love to Moses, Moses descended to Israel's camp with a radiant face. Did Moses know at first that his face was radiant? Not at all. The closer one is to the Lord, the more keenly aware the person is of his or her imperfections compared to God's holiness. What was the cause for Moses' transformation that resulted in his face becoming radiant? The reason was not in the simple fact that he was in God's presence, because several times previously he had been with the Lord and his face did not become radiant after those encounters. However, if he had never been in the Lord's presence, his face would never have shone. It was only when he understood God's goodness and kindness and he completely opened himself to God because of the beauty of his character that Moses was transformed and his face shone. Our hearts and minds can experience a change when we surrender to God and allow him to be the Lord and King of our lives. Read 2 Corinthians 3:18. How can Jesus gradually transform you into his image?
But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord.
Paul compares Moses' shining face with Jesus Christ, and that the glory of Jesus, in whom God's law and grace were personified, surpasses the glory of the law with Moses. Christ, together with his law, can be engraved in our characters only when we fix our eyes on Jesus, and only by the power of the Spirit of God. Read more in Hebrews 3, Hebrews 12, and 2 Corinthians 3. Moses is a model for us, demonstrating what God can do for us when we allow him to change our characters and to mold us into this divine image. This is what Paul means when he talks about walking in the newness of life, Romans 6:4. What areas of your character need to reflect the character of God better? Probably every area, right? However, how can focusing on the cross and what it means give you encouragement and assurance of salvation? Friday, September 19, Further Thought. Carefully read Ellen G. White's Idolatry at Sinai, page 327 through 330 in Patriarchs and Prophets. On a gloomy day, a father and son visited a cathedral. As they looked at the stained glass windows with beautiful depictions of different biblical scenarios, the sun suddenly began shining through the glass picture of people, brightly illuminating them with impressive light. The small boy asked his father, "Daddy, who are these people?" The father didn't know much about Christianity, Christ, or his disciples, but quickly replied, "These people are Christians." This dazzling picture displayed in the mind of the son. One day, the boy's teacher asked in class, "Children, do you know who Christians are?" The small boy remembered the bright picture in the cathedral and answered, "I know. Christians are shining people." Along the same line, Jesus said to his followers, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Matthew 5:16. Only shining people can be agents of change. To conclude the week, here are our discussion questions. If we would humble ourselves before God and be kind and courteous and tender-hearted and pitiful, there would be 100 conversions to the truth, where now there is only one. Ellen G. White's Testimonies for the Church, Volume 9, page 189. What powerful message is here for all of us about how our characters, our actions, and our attitudes impact our witness? Exodus 34, 6 and 7 is rightly called the John 3:16 of the Old Testament. Why? Let's read that. Exodus 34, 6 and 7.
And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation.
And of course, we can both read together from John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then we are asked to explain the beauty of God's character based on the self-revelation of God in these verses we've just read in Exodus 34 to people who ask who your God is. In class, let people discuss how the character and actions of people professing Christ impact their walk. That is, what has been the influence of those who were kind, gracious, humble, and forgiving on your own experience? At the same time, how have unkind, unforgiving, and arrogant Christians impacted your walk with the Lord? Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Mission Sunlight's Sabbath School Bible Study from Network 7. Please click the share button on your devices to share the podcast with a friend. You may learn more about Mission Sunlight by visiting missionsunlight.org. Consider texting or calling us at 1-423-855-4877 or email hello@missionsunlight.org. And don't forget to check out another Mission Sunlight podcast, Mission Sunlight Chat, for stories behind mission and ministry. Learn more about today's Bible study at adultbiblestudy.org. Our lesson this quarter is titled Exodus by Jerry Muscala. This podcast is a Beeson Brook production for Network 7's Mission Sunlight and is copyrighted 2025.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you. With 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.